This is a translated sermon by Henk Leisinga, pastor of one of the local full gospel churches in the Netherlands. The subject of this morning is Eyes to See. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 23, we read some important statements of Jesus. At a time, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. They had been sent out by him with a commission and had seen great miracles and signs happening under their hands. Now they return to him with their stories, and Jesus tells them, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." Jesus says this to his disciples. This morning I want to ask you, what do you see? There is a children's game in Holland called I See What You Don't See. You try to make somebody else guess what you see and help him from time to time by giving additional information about what you have in mind. Then you wait until the other person has also seen it. Recently, I attended a meeting where they sang a song that really spoke to my heart. It was a song I had been singing regularly in church long ago. There is a certain line in it that says, "One day when I enter your heaven, I will see you in all your splendor." At that time, I found this a very strange line. I wondered, what will there be to see? I had no idea. Now I was singing these words again, and I thought, what a lot I have come to see now. What a lot the Lord has taught me about his kingdom. It made me very thankful. Shortly before that time, I had spoken in our church during the Bible study time about the different ways in which the Lord reveals himself to people. We also spoke about the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament with respect to Revelation. One wonders what the people of the Old Testament have or have not seen, and what Jesus is teaching in the New Testament. During that meeting, I received in one moment the subject for this message. So you see how the Lord can lead you through unusual and unexpected ways and give you a subject to speak about in the church. What do you see? You can see a lot of things. You can see things with your own eyes. And usually, that's what you want, because then you have seen it yourself. You do not need to depend on what someone else says. You consider this as the most trustworthy and you emphasize it again. I've seen it with my own eyes. With that you mean to say, these are the facts. This is how it is. Because this is how I have seen it. That's possible. You can also understand and comprehend things and say, yes, I've seen it, in the sense that you've got the meaning of it. But we actually prefer to be there and to have the experience. Yet, in the Bible you often come across things which you do not see with your natural eyes, things you cannot observe with these organs of your body. We use the term to see very often. For instance, when we talk about the future. Sometimes you can say, I can see things going to go wrong one day with that man or in that family. Or, I can see problems ahead. This then is based on all sorts of facts or thoughts or statements or the way things happen in life. You can see big troubles in the future. Also when you are advanced in years or getting older, you can get worried in a manner of speaking, see these worries coming towards you. Others can see frightening things heading their way, or become very insecure when looking ahead at the future. You can also see a different reality, not with your natural eyes, the parts of your body, but with the eyes of your heart. In the same way as you can hear with the ears of your heart, in that way you can see a lot of things which are not yet a reality, but you can learn to see them as if they are almost real. That is seeing in the spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, you could also play the game, I see what you don't see. It is strange that some people really do this in order to show off with all they have seen in theory. They have seen because they can think things through, are intelligent, and therefore able to analyze things well and put them in order. That's why they can express all the things they see through the Word of God very well. But this knowledge is not intended to be used for a show-off. When you see things in faith, have a vision or a revelation, it's always out of grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To see what is happening in the spiritual world is a matter of the heart. For that to happen, you need to be born again, and it is necessary that something new has begun to develop in you, that there is a start towards the Word of God, towards all that He has spoken. You don't get such a start because you are born into a certain family, like a full gospel or other kind of family. It does not start in you because you have fulfilled many conditions. Just as I try to do by following the rules and customs in the church I used to attend. In the Sunday school I enjoyed the stories. I attended the different clubs, not because I was such a nice boy, but because there was something about the Word of God that attracted my attention. I made a public confession of faith in the church and kept the rules. But the strange thing was that the beginning had not yet started in my life. I didn't know what it meant to be born again, because nobody had explained to me how I could have this experience in my life. But when I experienced this new birth and found eternal life, the gospel of Jesus Christ became the most important thing in my life, and many other things had to go. That gospel still captivates me tremendously. At a certain stage, you have to come to the personal decision, I want to enter God's world. I do not only want to experience the earthly reality, but also the heavenly reality. In Acts 17, verse 26, Paul says, from one man God made every nation of man, that they should inhabit the whole earth. That's what you are meant for. But at the same time, Paul says, you're also meant to seek heaven, to enter into the heavenly reality. That's why it is necessary that we repent from our old ways and be born again. Then you will say one day, Lord God, I want to enter your world. The Bible tells us that this is not possible just like that. You need Jesus to accomplish this. You need to ask forgiveness of sin first, so that you will be cleansed through the blood of Jesus, so that you can become a new creation. God does not set these conditions as a kind of payment or in order to make things difficult for you. God has set this condition because it is the only way to enter into God's reality. To enter His reality is impossible without Jesus Christ. If you want to come to know the spiritual reality without Jesus, you end up in the wrong realm. That's possible in many different ways. through drugs you can enter the spiritual realm, and also through music. You can fall into a trance and enter the spiritual realm. Through all sorts of occultism, you can enter the spiritual realm, but it is wrong and you will always be injured. When you enter into God's world through Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, you will be enriched and not injured. If you experience injury because you live with God and you think that your walk with God has damaging results, then your thinking is not right. A person is not injured because he seeks the heavenly reality of God. In that reality, you come out better as a person. If you experience injuries, then these are a result of the work of the powers of darkness. There could be other factors which have to do with this. God says, "My heaven is for you. My reality is for you. I am calling you. Come into my heavenly reality." This is possible through Jesus Christ. For this, Jesus was willing to give all. He says, "I'm willing to lay down my life so that you can enter and see my Father's reality." However, just as you have to use your eyes in the natural world, and you sometimes have to try a bit harder to see, in the same way, you have to learn to do that in the spiritual world. You have to learn to see, learn to observe, learn to discern. You have to learn to understand what is really meant. We have already read the verse from Isaiah 9, verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." When the Lord Jesus was on earth, he was that light. He radiated from all sides. For whom? For those people who wanted to see it. For those people who made the choice and accepted it. If you are attending church and you think that seeing God, your understanding of God, will come over you automatically, then you are completely wrong. If you want to see something of God, if you really want to see the reality of God, you will have to make decisions. You will have to be willing to give yourself, and then there will be a lot to see. The Lord Jesus walked on this earth, and many people said, "He is an ordinary person. He is the son of Joseph and Mary." They did not correctly identify Jesus, but this is how it seemed to be in their thinking. This is how people talked about him. Therefore, they supposed that this is how it was. They saw a man who talked with the Pharisees, a man who talked to Samaritans, and a man who talked to sinful women. That's all they saw with their natural eyes. And Isaiah says, "You are walking in darkness. You can see a great light." But they didn't see it. Why not? Because there was not that certain desire in their innermost being, or if it was there, they had not given heed to it. Sometimes we too need to give heed to the desire we have deep in our hearts, the desire to come to know God, to live with him and move on with him. That is a choice. If you make that choice, a lot of things become possible. Jesus walked on earth, full of light and glory, but on the outside he was an ordinary man. He said extraordinary things and regularly performed miracles and signs, which were mind-boggling. That was all they saw, no more, even though he was so full of glory. So this means that there is a lot which can be seen here in our midst, and yet we do not see it. If that could happen in those days, the days of Jesus, how much more in our time? Because the fullness that Jesus revealed has not been revealed by anybody since. So when do you see what? When do you see how your church functions? When do you see what the Lord Jesus is doing there? This will happen when you have chosen to be born again. When you have chosen to enter God's world in the way of the Lord Jesus, and when you really experience this, it's your choice that you want to see the spiritual reality of God in heaven, just as you see the reality around you. God's reality is so much greater. It exceeds many things. That is where God wants us to be. Paul says in Romans 1 verse 20 that his eternal power and divine nature cannot be seen. You cannot see these matters with your natural eyes, with these visible parts of the body. Paul also says, but since the creation of the world, they have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So when someone is asking, does God really exist? We find the answer here. You can understand it from what has been made. Therefore, throw aside all your arguments. Be honest and look around. Look at this great creation, at this whole world that is here. Of course, you can see many negative things, but you can also see beautiful things. If you pay attention to this, you will have to come to the conclusion that there must be a God, a creator. You will get a sharp perception of his eternal power and divinity, because you believe what Jesus says, and he can make known to you the deep things of God. You can read this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 13. In the story of Noah, we read that God told him the earth would perish through water, according to Genesis 6 verse 17. But Noah did not see anything of the kind. Year after year, no water came, and yet Noah preached and spoke to the people. In the meantime, he was building the ark, and the people considered him a nutcase. Where is that water? How can you build a boat, an ark, while there is no water here? Don't be a fool, Noah. And yet, Noah continued to build, because he followed what God had said and not what he saw. He believed that he would see. At a certain time the water came, but many, many years had passed. It had taken Noah a long time, and all that time he had had to preach while nothing was happening. But Noah saw in faith. It is said about Abraham that he was searching for the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God, according to Hebrews 11, verse 9 and 10. It is also written about him that he received many promises. His offspring would be as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. Yet he was alone, and he didn't even have a son by his own wife. What did he do? He continued to look. He continued to see. He continued to expect that what God had spoken would become reality. In Hebrews 11 verse 13 it says, they only saw the promised things from a distance. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were saying, we live on this earth. We experienced all that is going on here on earth. We meet enemies, and yet this is not the real thing, the final reality. There is another reality. I'm looking forward to that reality. Together with Abraham, they continued to see this reality before them. But what did Abram see? Yes, he could only imagine what he might see. God had spoken words, and Abraham held on to these words. He tried to imagine what it would be like when these words would become reality. And as he moved on, Abram saw in his mind's eye that town far off, the heavenly Jerusalem. He didn't understand how that town was made and functioned. He could not comprehend it. He could not see it. He could not give great speeches about it either. And yet, he saw it as a great reality. And because of that, the reality on earth was much less important, and he could say, I am a stranger and an alien. Sometimes some Christians also say that, but when you look at their lives, it looks as if life on this earth is the goal. Everything revolves around it. They are intensely occupied by it. Don't say without thinking, I'm a stranger and an alien, but rather live as a stranger and an alien. If at least you have chosen for the heavenly reality to which God has called you. In Matthew 13, verse 35, Jesus says, many things of God have been hidden since the creation of the world. There will come a time that they will be revealed, and that's why he is speaking in parables. The disciples ask him, why are you making things so complicated? Why don't you tell us plainly? Why are you telling us things in parables? And Jesus answers, so that they who see will see it. What does he mean to say with that? He means to say that those people who are really seeking the heavenly reality will come to understand it. It's also my experience that you can try to explain to people clearly and elaborately the greatest secrets of God, and then they turn around and have forgotten what they heard. You've tried, as it were, the best teaching methods to explain things and spell out that God wants and all that Jesus wants, and yet it does not penetrate, and they are not accepting it. Why is that? The reason is that they are not really trying to see. They are not seeking the spiritual reality. In 1 Peter 1 verse 10, Peter says, the prophets have spoken of the grace that was to come to you. The books of the Bible are full with all the statements that the prophets have said. When you read these words superficially, you may say, how strange, such unusual stories. Even in the times of the prophets, there were people who told them, don't be a fool. But the prophets tried to stand firm and held on to the words they had spoken. One of them, for instance, said, there is an army coming. And the people said, don't imagine things. Don't get so worried. Everything is fine in our country. Have a good look around. A year later, the army was there. The prophets have been laughed at, and their words have been ridiculed. Yet they have spoken words of which they themselves thought, what am I saying? What am I doing? What is the meaning of this for this nation, for the people of the world? They have searched intently, and with the greatest care, they have explored, and yet they have not understood. They have seen a little bit, but they did not understand it fully. They have believed that it would become true, even though they were not sure what exactly the Spirit of God in them meant when they prophesied. The writer to the Hebrews said it in this way in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Yet at present we do not see everything subjected to him, but we see Jesus now crowned with glory and honor. That is a verse that should make us gather around in small groups for discussion. We should ask one another, what do you think is meant here? What do you see? What do you see of Jesus here? What positive things do you notice in yourself? It is very good to learn to discover these in yourself, because that is what God also does. He always looks for the positive things in your life. It is good to look at yourself from his perspective. What is it God actually sees in me? Why actually would God want me to seek for his reality? What is his purpose for me, for my life? Some people say, I can't imagine that God sees something beautiful, something worthwhile in me. That's why it is important to take time to think what good things you see in yourself. Not in order to exalt yourself or to become proud, but in order to see the value of your own existence. Do you see in yourself areas in which you ought to change? Do you see things the Lord Jesus can still change? Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to get baptized, because you have wanted this to happen already for a long time. Maybe you need deliverance. What is there that needs change in your behavior as a member of the church? You can ask yourself what things you need to watch in the area of caring for one another and in respect of the development of the social side of you as a human being. It is important not to live on an island as a human being, as a family or as a church, but to be open to and for others. You need to become an open place, just as we read in Zechariah 2 verse 4 and 5, that Jerusalem will become an open place. God will be a wall of fire around her and its glory within. Sometimes things will come to light and you realize, that will have to change in my life if I really want to become like Jesus. What do you see in your church? It may be good to take time to talk about it together after a meeting and to help one another to see the good things, to bring out the things that are developing well in your assembly and to see all the things you have. You will enjoy this. If you want to have a fascinating life, you will really have to start searching for God's heavenly reality. That's a continuous journey of discovery. Be aware, you will also meet enemies all the time. And sometimes you think, it must be me. Yet, when you think clearer spiritually, you will know it is the devil I'm facing. But how? How does he work? Why does this happen? Sometimes you meet enemies you don't seem to be able to come to grips with. In that case, it is important to continue to search and ask the Lord for help, so that you will fight the battle in his light. Then the time will come that you expose that enemy in all his greatness, and you will be able to fight him effectively. There is a lot to discover as a member of the church and in looking at this body, the church. You should be searching to find out, what do I see of the Lord Jesus in myself? What do I see of the Lord Jesus in the church? Which promises has the Lord given, and which ones have already become a reality? Sometimes you meet enemies you don't seem to be able to come to grips with. In that case, it is important to continue to search and ask the Lord for help, so that you will fight the battle in his light. Then the time will come that you expose that enemy in all his greatness, and you will be able to fight him effectively. There's a lot to discover as a member of the church, and in looking at this body, the church, you should be searching to find out, what do I see of the Lord Jesus in myself? What do I see of the Lord Jesus in the church? Which promises has the Lord given, and which ones have already become a reality? I remember a vision the Lord gave to our church many years ago. The Lord showed us a big seashell which surrounded a church. On the inside you could see the beautiful mother-of-pearl colorings, and the rough outside was turned towards the darkness. The thought which the Lord gave with this vision was, I will make you this beautiful, and I will also protect you. That was the initial phase of our church. It was probably a period in which there was a lot of unrest going on in the spiritual world. We also experienced this many times over the years. Not everybody was always able to discern this, though they may have experienced it, but if you did see it, it was wonderful to discover that the words spoken by the Lord, the promises He gave then and all through the years, have become a reality. It is so important to learn to look at the promises which God has given in the same way as He Himself looks at them. In doing this, you will find that they become a reality for you much quicker. If you do this, you are no longer following a hallucination, some weird thoughts, but taking the words of God as the basis. You learn to understand which reality is occupying God's mind. He is very faithful and exact in the execution of His plan. He knows that it will all come to pass. What is the reason that some people find it so difficult to see what God is doing? It is because they are not radical enough in respect to their sins. They want to experience the visible reality too much. They find it fascinating and are focused only on that reality. It is true, this life is fascinating, and it is not wrong to engage in life in this world. The more I myself come to know the Lord, the more I find ideals and I desires to do new things on this earth springing up in me. And curious as I am, I would like to know how it is all going to turn out. When you experience this with your teenagers and your children, it is good to go with them, to accompany them. But at the same time, you need to master the art to make the switch. It's not this earth and this world alone that matters. God's heaven matters as well. Do you also want to be fascinated by God's reality in this way? Then you will need to free yourself from all this world has to offer you more and more. Give it a second place. Choose the reality of heaven as your first priority. That is the choice which I made years ago. When I was 11 years old, I decided to make that my focus and to speak about it. I wanted to become a teacher so that I could tell the children about the Lord Jesus. There was a desire in me to tell others about this Jesus, even though I was not yet born again. Yes, that's possible. And I think it is wonderful that God looks at your heart and that your choices count with Him and that He goes on with you. The more you search for that heavenly reality, the more you will see it. Another thing that can hold you back is being jealous of other people. You try to become like them, but it can hinder you because your motivation is wrong. Your motive should be, I want to come to see God's reality. Other people want this too, and if they happen to see more than me, I want to enjoy that and be led by them so that I too will see it. All kinds of sin can hinder such a progress. So can evil spirits that you may not see yourself.
It is an art to handle these matters well, also as a leader, to be able to point out to the other person the things from which he needs to be set free. That is the purpose of leadership in the church and of being a member, allowing yourself to be led and helped. This is only possible when there is respect and trust on both sides. Another hindrance to see God's reality is the lack of interest to fight, the lack of interest to work at something, to dig into God's word. When my wife and I still had the children at home, they had to help in the house, and sometimes they said, "I don't feel like doing the washing up." My wife used to answer, "Well, then you do it without feeling. You still have to do it." And so they did. They had to work on their feelings. That is possible, and it has nothing to do with being hard on them. It has to do with making it very clear that this is the way to get out of this situation. Work at it. Pull yourself together and tell yourself that wonderful reality of God is so much greater. That's what I want to see. I'm going to give myself for that. Pull away from the love of ease, from laziness, from behaving like a spoiled brat. Spoiled children are difficult to bring up, and teachers find it hard to deal with them. Therefore, don't spoil yourself. Be ready to pull yourself together and fight to enter the heavenly reality, where you get your eyes opened. Other people are stopped from entering because of disappointments, because they have had one setback after another. Personally, I've had quite a few spiritual blows over the years, caused by people or by direct attacks of the enemy or through adverse circumstances. I've learned not to dwell on these disappointments, but to use them and find a way to get out of them. Until now, I've managed every time. Other people, church members, have helped me in that process. But above all, thanks to the Lord Jesus, for I'm living from His strength and from His grace. If you do that, many things are possible. So deal with your disappointments and make a fresh start. You can also ask somebody to walk and together that road with the Lord again. Your prayer wasn't answered. Things worked out differently in your life than you had expected. You thought that the Lord would work things out for you, and He didn't? Don't remain stuck in it. Go on with your search. Paul talks in Colossians 2 verse 2 about the full riches of complete understanding. That must be wonderful. It must be great to really see what God, what the Lord Jesus is doing at this time. If you look at your own life as a child of God, and if you walk honestly with Him, you will already see great things develop in you, as well as in the church. Yet, the Lord wants to go much deeper. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, "I keep asking God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." That's what you should pray for. That's what you should ask God for, and what you should expect to receive, what you should be looking forward to. Whenever you want something in the natural world, you try to get hold of it in an honest way. It's the same in the spiritual world. You want to get things done in an honest way, just like Jesus received the name above all other names, in an honest way. In Philippians 2 verse 6 we read of Him, "He did not consider equality with God to be grasped." Jesus became a servant. He humbled Himself, and He became obedient to death, even to the death on a cross. That's why He received the name above all other names. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus wants to give you a name in its spiritual reality. That fascinates me, that challenges me, that helps me to cope with disappointments, that helps me to bear with the talking of people, to deal with gossip that I hear through others. I can rise above all this because I can see the beautiful things of God, because I want a name in heaven, because I want to have the full riches of complete understanding. How wonderful it is that when you pray for somebody, you know exactly what to pray for. And not only because you are inspired by the Spirit of God, but also because you yourself have complete understanding in this matter and know exactly against which things you need to fight in the life of the other person. It is wonderful to see how problems are being solved. It is good to enter that fight as a church in order to bring hidden problems to light. Sometimes young people start a new training, get new books, and are so fascinated by this new training and the new subjects that they are about to study that they already start glancing through the books to find out what a new year will bring them, even before school starts. That refreshing, original behavior is normal for a person and for a child. We need to get that back as children of God. We need to search intently, trying to find out what the Spirit of God is pointing at, to know what it is the Lord desires, what it is we are called for, how we can experience the greatness of the Lord here in our midst, how we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and eyes that are enlightened. Sometimes you need an eye salve. Jesus tells us this in Revelation 3 verse 18. You don't see what you ought to see. Use salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You will be able to see much more. He says, you say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Verses 17 and 18. You can be like a baby in the reality of God. You can be there as a child, as a young man, who is fighting his battles and is living through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also become like a father who sees what Jesus has seen. Fathers who have known him who is from the beginning. John calls them in 1 John 2 verse 13 and 14. So there are many possibilities. On earth as well as in heaven, you can discover great things and also make a name for yourself. Really make a name for yourself. You may not get a high executive position on earth, but in heaven, this is possible within the framework of God's kingdom, within the boundaries the Lord Jesus has set. God is looking for such people, people who will say, I want to see, I want to get my eyes opened, I want to search intently and find out. In Amos 3 verse 7 it says, the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. He wants to reveal many things to us. He wants to do a lot in your life, in the church, in this world. He wants to work out his plan. He is searching for people to whom he can reveal his mind, his thoughts, so that they can be used. People who are not putting themselves in the first place, who are not seeking this earth, this world in the first place, God is searching for people who are seeking the highest from God. People who want to see him in all his glory, or want him to reveal his thoughts to him. Amos 4 verse 13. God wants to reveal to us, to you, to me, his thoughts over our lives, how he thinks about you and me, all the things he wants to bring out in you and me. He has many thoughts about that, and he wants us to know them. It does not matter whether you are 12 or 80 years old, and whether you understand everything or only very little. God says, I'm looking for people to whom I can reveal my thoughts. In other translation we read, God is looking for people to whom he can reveal his deepest secrets. His deepest secrets? How do you get those? You get them by breaking with sin, by breaking with enemies, by breaking with taking things easy, and by breaking with laziness and being spoiled, by putting your mind to things even if you don't feel like it, and by dealing with disappointments, by surrendering yourself, by making the choice, I want to see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. I really want to experience that and move forward towards it, like Abraham and others have seen a glimpse of it. Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 17, many have longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Did you hear it this morning? You can work this out for yourself. You can also give God an answer whether you have heard the Lord speak to you. You can choose for yourself. Let's bow down our heads and be quiet for a moment. Lord God, here we are, listening to this cassette. I thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that you have given these thoughts, and thank you, Father, that we can already see many things being revealed, not only to our hearts, but also in our outward experience. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to lead us into that heavenly reality. You gave your life for this. Lord Jesus, I pray that every person who hears this cassette will start searching intently for your mysteries and find them out. May they want to get their eyes opened to see what is really happening in the spiritual world. Lord Jesus, I pray that you train everybody in this aspect, and where people are not able to see, help them to find a way to get further and grow in grace and truth. I pray that you help every listener personally in his or her situation to get a clear insight in his or her own life and spiritual development. King Jesus, reveal yourself. Glorify your name. I thank you, Lord, that we are a sign in heaven through your grace and because of your grace, that we are a sign of your dignity and of your rule. The devil tries to defame and to kick against your rule, but you are helping us to see your reality, to be a sign in your heaven, a church and people who are living, experiencing the working of the Holy Spirit, and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to become spiritual fathers, so that we will outgrow the desire to remain babies. Let us really become adults in that world of yours. That's what I ask for each one of us, and for each listener, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for so much grace. Hallelujah. Amen.